see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show you your true colors. True colors. True colors.
Good, good, good. It's great to see you. Man, wow. Good to see the house full today, and today we are continuing our series, True Colors. We've been talking about the distinctives, the unique things about the Edge Church that really make the Edge Church the Edge Church, and today I want to share with you a message that is deep within my heart today from the book of Luke, chapter 19. If you have a Bible, you can follow along with where we're going today, but I was reminded this week as I was studying this particular passage of my freshman year in college, I ran on the track team there at a Division II school, a small university. And, you know, when you run on a track team or you're an athlete, the people that you spend almost all of your time with are athletes because you just practice nonstop. In fact, I remember one Sunday running 17 miles before going to Sunday school, you know, I mean, and that was just the normal thing. So you spend a lot of time with the people on the team, and it was interesting for me because I grew up in a very strong Christian background, went to church all the time, went to Christian school, had all Christian friends. And then I went to the university, and it was kind of the opposite of that. There were very, very few Christians on the track team. And so I was trying to figure out how does my faith kind of intersect where I live, because this was such a different experience for me and being around so many non-believers. And I really wanted to reach out and for God to use my life in the context of the university and my friends on the track team. And I was trying to take my friends to church, and there was really one church in town that people went to, and it was a good church, and they believed the Bible and taught the word and were really nice people, but it was a church that wasn't very culturally relevant, if you know what I mean. It was biblically sound, but it wasn't really culturally relevant. And so a lot of my friends had a hard time really understanding what was going on, understanding the Bible, understanding what Jesus had done, not because that the message wasn't good, but it was just put in a context that was difficult for them to connect with. And so as a freshman in college, I began to dream and to think about what would it be like to one day be the pastor of a church that would bring the best of both worlds, be biblically sound, but be culturally relevant, and would be the kind of church that my friends from the collegiate track team would want to come to. And little did I know that the foundation that God was pouring in my heart was for what would one day become the Edge Church. And that's where we have kind of come, and really the background of the Edge Church. Our church is 2.5 years old, but we wanted to start a church that would be for the people that are far from God, the people that don't know about Jesus, the people that have never really heard biblical teaching before, and we wanted to take some of the great truths of the Bible, but to communicate it and say it in a way that would reach a fresh and new audience. And so that's where we really came up with this whole concept for the Edge Church that we began about 2.5 years ago. Let me ask you a question. What do an adulterer, a newly married couple, a sex addict, a single mom, an entrepreneur, a president, a drug addict, a mature Christian, and an alcoholic all have in common? They're all members of the Edge Church. Yeah, they're all imperfect people passionately pursuing Jesus Christ right here. Right here. And this is so much at the very heart of God, because we are a church for everybody. We have all shapes and sizes here at the Edge Church. In fact, one of our favorite mottos as the Edge Church is, come as you are, but just don't stay that way. Come as you are, but don't stay that way. Let the power of Christ change you. Let God do something in you that you didn't even believe was imaginable. And Luke 19 tells us a story like this. The gospel account tells us the story of a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man that came as he was to Jesus, but he did not stay that way. He was a new man. The Bible tells us Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. The chief tax collector. Not just the average tax collector, but the head tax collector. Tax collectors in the ancient world were extortionists. They were ripoff artists. Zacchaeus was the Bernie Madoff of his generation. He lived in a border town there in Jericho, and in the ancient world, the way taxes were collected, a certain amount went to the Roman government, but whatever you collected above that was what you kept as the tax collector. So you could just make up whatever prices that you wanted to charge people for taxes. And the result was tax collectors were very wealthy, wealthy people, but they were also despised and hated. Zacchaeus was among them. In fact, Zacchaeus was the chief one. And to make matters worse, Zacchaeus was a Jewish man that was working for the Roman government, which made the Jews, his own people, hate his guts even more because he was a sellout. He was one of us, but he worked for them. And the Jews hated the Romans. All that said, Zacchaeus did not have very many friends. He was wealthy. The guy had a lot of money, but people despised him. And yet that day in the city of Jericho, he had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. It's unbelievable. So here is Zacchaeus running through the streets of Jericho, wanting to see Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. Maybe he had even heard that one of the 12 disciples, Matthew, was also a tax collector. And he may have thought to himself, well, man, if there's hope for Matthew, maybe God can do something for me. But he could not see Jesus. The reason he couldn't see Jesus is because he wasn't the only guy that was looking for Jesus. The whole city was looking for Jesus. They had heard about how he'd raised the dead, and he had healed the sick, and he had fed the 5,000, and he had, you know, done the moonwalk on the water and all this stuff. And people are looking to Jesus to see, who is this guy? Zacchaeus, the Bible says, was a little short guy, a wee little man. By Mediterranean standards, if you were short, you were less than 5 feet tall. So you could say that Zacchaeus had a poor vertical. He struggled. No wonder he couldn't see. He was running through the streets, and finally he finds a sycamore tree. He scales it, and there he gets a look at Jesus. Jesus is walking by that day, looking into the tree. You know what he saw? He saw Zacchaeus there, this wealthy tax collector hated by his own town, in his Versace toga and his Tommy Hilfiger headband, his golden pinky ring, you know? And Jesus says, you know what? I want to come to your house. Calls him by name. Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Zacchaeus looking around. Whoa, how did he know my name? He spends the day with Zacchaeus in his home. Zacchaeus follows Jesus, becomes a disciple, and he returns fourfold all that he has stolen to the individuals that he had extorted that money from. Then he gave half of all of his possessions to the poor. You know, it's interesting, when we truly follow Jesus, our lifestyle begins to change. Our attitude begins to change. And that is the beautiful and wonderful story of Zacchaeus. But more importantly, Jesus wraps up this whole little story in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, by saying, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. I want us to really download some powerful truths from this ancient story that speak to us so much about how God wants to use our lives to reach people. God wants to use you to reach out to the Zacchaeuses around you. Now, some of us may look at our lives and say, man, I don't know if I can reach out to another, to Zacchaeus, but I am a Zacchaeus, and I need Jesus. And we want to give you an opportunity to respond to Christ's message in just a moment as well. But God has put a Zacchaeus in your life. And God wants us to understand three things, three words, three powerful life-changing concepts today in relation to reaching people. The first one is simply this: sensitivity. Sensitivity. Notice those who are receptive. This is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus was looking around and he sees Zacchaeus. Notice verses 2 through 4. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy, and he wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, and since Jesus was coming that way, Jesus saw him. Who's that guy in the tree? Oh, that's Zacchaeus. Jesus was sensitive. He knew something was stirring in the heart of Zacchaeus to cause this very wealthy man to be hanging from a tree. I mean, that's kind of unusual. And you see, when we begin to live a life that's externally focused, and is focused on reaching others, and is focused on not just ourselves, but focused on the spiritual needs of the people around us, God begins to make us sensitive to how we can help and encourage others to find Christ as well. Jesus was sensitive, and he noticed this man and was so sensitive to what his need was. Are you in tune with the needs of others? Now see, the struggle is we get so busy doing our own thing and going our own direction and kind of living in our own world and thinking about our own problems and our own worries and concerns, sometimes we forget about the people who don't know the Lord. And yet God wants to use us to reach out to them. God doesn't want us to just live a life that's focused on me and what's going on in my world, but he wants me to always be looking around, asking the question, what could I do to touch somebody else? What could I do to help somebody around me? And Jesus saw the enthusiasm of Zacchaeus, and he was sensitive. Now, of all the people in the city of Jericho that Jesus could have hung out with that day, there was the mayor, there was the religious establishment, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'm sure there were some really sharp small business owners, the Rotary Club. There were a lot of people around. But Jesus chose Zacchaeus. And listen, the people began to murmur. The people began to freak out, because why would Jesus spend time with that sinner, that reprobate, that guy that's been ripping me off and taking my kids' college tuition and, you know, seizing my assets and, you know, a guy that's dishonest? Why would Jesus spend time with him and not with somebody else? But Jesus saw through all of that. And there he was up in a tree. You know, God's put somebody in your life that's up in a tree physically, or up in a tree financially, or up in a tree spiritually, or up in a tree socially. And God wants you to begin to reach out to the people who are up in a tree. Jesus saw this as opportunity. He wasn't intimidated by Zacchaeus. He wasn't worried about what all the crowd said and what popular opinion was. Jesus said, something is going on in the heart of Zacchaeus, and I want to be a part of helping this man that's hanging from this tree there in the ancient world, the ancient city there of Jericho. How do we look for people with the eyes of Jesus? Number one, we look for people who are hurting. I mean, Zacchaeus, he had no friends. Had a lot of money. People hated his guts. I'm sure when he walked down the street, people wanted to spit on him. And Jesus was sensitive to that. People that are hurting. There's people that are hurting all around us. You know, every person needs a Zacchaeus in their life. Just kind of reminds us sometimes about how good our life is and how much other people are struggling. It keeps us balanced, keeps us focused. And Jesus spent most of his time with people who were hurting. Lepers, sick people, prostitutes, people like Zacchaeus and others. When you read the ministry of Jesus, Jesus was not always hobnobbing with all the people that had it together. He really spent time with the people that were broken and people who were hurting. And then people who were changing. I mean, now this hardened sinner now wants to come and see Jesus. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? I mean, who would have thought that Zacchaeus, of all people in the city of Jericho that day, that he would have been the most enthusiastic person, running through the streets, climbing the tree, looking for Jesus, doing all that he could, but something was about to change in his life. See, somebody in your life today is going through change. You used to invite them to church, and they used to look at you and laugh, and now you invite them to church, and they're like, what was the message about? You know? They're asking questions. God's put you in their life. People who are changing. That's why we should never give up on people. Because it would have been easy to give up on the character named Zacchaeus, and yet God wasn't done with him. People who are curious. I mean, there he is climbing up in the tree. Let me check this out. What does Jesus look like? You just begin to ask questions. Sometimes people that are asking you questions about the Christian faith or the Bible or about Jesus, sometimes there's a reason behind that. They're curious. They want to know what God is doing. And what God wants us to do is we've got to be sensitive to what's going on. We've got to begin to see through that. Jesus saw so much more than just the man with the Versace toga in the tree. He saw the heart He saw the need. He saw the brokenness. He saw the openness. He saw the curiosity there of this man. And people who the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. Now, we're not sure how Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. Maybe he had heard about him. Or maybe the Holy Spirit of God just revealed it to him on the spot. But you know, God will do that. Sometimes we're just kind of going through the normal routine of life, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will put a name of somebody on our heart, or we'll see somebody in a need. And the question is, are we going to slow down enough? Are we going to redirect our life to focus on helping that person, or are we just going to kind of live in our own little world? Sometimes we want to put people in categories and boxes. Oh, they're over here, and that person is over there. But here's the deal, guys. People change. And listen, when God gets in the picture, people can change a whole lot. I'm reminded of a couple of my friends when I was in college. You know, back to my track days. I had two good buddies in college when I was a freshman and sophomore. They were always talking to people about Jesus. Like, they were the kind of people that made me nervous at times. You know, like, I like to talk to people about Jesus. I'm pretty outgoing. But they were so outgoing and so assertive, like, it made me kind of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he just said that, you know? Both of these guys were ex-drug dealers. You know, there were guys in high school that everybody had written off, and yet they met Christ and God changed their lives. And now they begin to be some of the strongest advocates and really love to share the message and the hope of Jesus with everyone around them. Never give up on the Zacchaeuses around you, because you just never know what God's going to do. And when you're sensitive to the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit, great things began to happen. So we say, come as you are, but just don't stay that way. So sensitivity. Sensitivity is the first word. Now the second word is connectivity. Connectivity. We need to be connected with what God is doing. It's one thing to observe it, sensitivity. The other is connectivity. Jesus was connected. Jesus was connected with others. In verses 5 and through 7, it says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down, and he welcomed him gladly, and all the people saw this and began to mutter, he had gone to be the guest of this sinner? Whoa! Jesus initiated this opportunity to build a relationship. He said, man, we have an opportunity. I'm going to go find Zacchaeus. Now, he didn't say, if Zacchaeus comes and finds me, I'll answer his questions. No, he saw Zacchaeus in the tree, and he goes to him. And he didn't just say hello. I mean, he says, by the way, I'm coming over to your house today, Zacchaeus. You know, in the ancient world, you never invited yourself over to somebody's house. In fact, that'd be kind of weird today, too, wouldn't it? Hey, I'm coming over for lunch today. Can you cook for me? You know, it'd be a little strange. But furthermore, Jesus didn't even know Zacchaeus. I mean, it's one thing if your friend invites himself over. It's a little awkward. But some stranger, hey, I'm coming over this afternoon. You'd think that was a little strange. Zacchaeus was elated because Jesus was initiating a relationship with him, connectivity. And Jesus welcomed him gladly. It was a sign of forgiveness and repentance. And sometimes we wait around for people to come to us, and yet the Bible reminds us today that we need to go to people. We need to be seeking people out who are hurting, people that are asking questions, people that are struggling. Those need to be the folks that we are extra sensitive to and are sharing the life-changing message of Jesus. So who are you getting to know that needs Christ? Who's the Zacchaeus in your life? Who's the person that needs to know the Lord? By the way, they may not be at church yet. In fact, they probably are not. But God's going to use your life in an exciting way today to be a part of that. And sometimes we live in our own isolated worlds, withdrawn from all the needs of those around us, but we need to remember people are hurting. People are struggling with substance abuse. People are losing their jobs. People are getting bad reports from the doctor. And we need to be, as the people of God, the most sensitive, loving, kind, and gracious people on the planet as we initiate these relationships. And in that, people can see Jesus in our lives. Now listen, Zacchaeus could not see Jesus because there were people in the way. And did you know sometimes in the church, the same is true? There are people that cannot see Jesus because sometimes Christians are in the way, blocking the view of Jesus. We need to be people that are giving people a boost. We're helping people see Jesus, not standing in their way. We need to be revealing who Christ is and not preventing their viewpoint from seeing who they are. It's never too late. And it's crazy to think that this man, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, would become such a committed follower of Christ. But you know what? It's never too late for you. It's never too late for God to change your life. It's never too late for God to give you hope. It's never too late for God to do something fresh and new and exciting, to take you places you never believed were even possible. It's never too late. Sometimes we discount the ministry that we can have among people of affluence. Zacchaeus was a wealthy guy. Sometimes in our own subconscious state, we look around and we say, man, I need to minister to somebody. I need to find a homeless person. And that's cool. We need to be ministering to homeless people. But that's not the only people. We need to not discriminate against people that have wealth just because they're wealthy, because God's moving in their lives too. Sometimes we can be intimidated and think, oh man, that guy's got that car. He lives in that home. That guy has that lifestyle. He would never want to hear about Jesus. Not necessarily the case. Zacchaeus had all the money. He had all the wealth. But he didn't have the Lord. And Jesus sensed there was a change going on in his life. And he reached out to him and it forever changed his life. I was sharing Christ with a guy several years ago. And he wrote me this email after I shared the gospel with him several months afterwards. One day I was on the phone with him and he began to ask some spiritual questions. And I began to talk with him about the Lord. And, you know, I don't normally share Christ with people on the phone, although I do on occasion. But it was just one of those God moments where the door just opened and, you know, boom, we started talking about the Lord. He said, Ryan, I'm not ready to commit my life to Christ. But several months later, I got this email in my inbox one day. He said this, Ryan, I want to thank you for keeping me in your prayers over the last several months. I wanted to let you know that I've made the decision to accept Christ into my heart and to commit my life to Him. It happened last night while I was in my son's nursery watching him sleep. I got down on my knees, and although my words were clumsy and unrehearsed and there were tears in my prayer, but my prayer was from the heart. And so I guess that's all that matters. The next step is I'd like to, for Brandy, that's his wife, and myself to attend the 101 class and to be baptized. Thanks again for everyone at the church for all your support. Thanks for keeping me in your prayers and never giving up on me. This was a guy that was a self-proclaimed agnostic, committing his life to Jesus. Not exactly the most, you know, the person that we think of most in terms of, oh, that guy wants to follow Jesus. And yet we never give up on people. We never give up on initiating contact. We never give up sharing. We never give up opening doors to see what God wants to do. Now, Jesus conducted his ministry by feeling people's pain. He was empathetic. By hearing people's questions and seeing people's need for forgiveness. Jesus was about all of these things. And when we see the broken and the spiritual needs of our community, it should open our hearts. In fact, I hope today that you have a renewed passion and commitment to reach somebody that God has put into your life. God has put a Zacchaeus in your life. God has put people around you for a very specific reason, and there's no greater excitement than reaching those folks. The third thing that we see is authenticity. Watch for signs of true life change. Make sure they got it. In verses 8 through 10, the Bible says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 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 here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, well, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Zacchaeus meets Jesus, and what does he do? It begins to change his life. You cannot meet Jesus and not experience life change. In fact, I worry about you if you say, yeah, I committed my life to Christ and everything in my life stayed the same. Well, did you really meet the Jesus of the Bible? I mean, did you really meet the Jesus that intersected with Zacchaeus? Because listen, when Christ comes in, a new mind, a new attitude, a new perspective, a new vision, a new hope, a new lifestyle, all of those things are sure to come. Zacchaeus went from being a hoarder to being generous. In the ancient world, you were required to pay a 20% penalty for extorting money. Zacchaeus goes above and beyond to show his true repentance. Four times he gives. And then he gives half of all of his possessions to the poor. It shows true life change. When Christ comes in, our life changes. He doesn't keep us the same. That's why Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew and then for the Gentile." I love that word, the power of God, because it's a word in the language of the New Testament we get our English word dynamite from. The gospel is dynamic. The gospel is explosive. The gospel causes us to change. See, sometimes we're so obsessed with trying to reform ourselves, but what we really need is the power of Christ to do in us what we cannot do by ourselves. Why would Zacchaeus move from stealing to being a guy that's giving away all of his possessions? The dynamic power of the gospel had overtaken his life. And God will do that in your life today. If you've never made that faith commitment, that faith step today, then God will do that in your heart. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. I'll tell you the thing that pumps me up more than anything else is seeing people baptized. Because in the baptistry, as we're going to see in just a few minutes, we see the greatest picture of life change. We are buried with Christ in baptism. We are raised to walk in newness of life. And listen, we have all kinds of people check on their card that they accept Jesus, and that's an awesome thing. And I hope you'll do that today if you have not done that previously. But the baptism is so important because when a person gets into the water of baptism, what they're saying is, I want to share with everybody what Christ has done in my life. I want to be like Zacchaeus. You see, following Jesus is not a private thing. Because when Christ truly comes in, it changes us from the inside out. And that's what baptism is. Today is a historic day at the Edge Church. We are baptizing our 100th person in the history of our church. Is that not exciting? Yes. And our church is a little more than 2.5 years old, and we're baptizing our 100th person. And I got to tell you, I'm so fired up because when I got here this morning, the baptistry was broken. Do you know that? And I said to our setup team today, why is the baptistry broken? They said, Ryan, we have put so much water into the baptistry. So many people have been baptized. It has bent the baptistry. You know? How about that? That's something to get excited about, right? The baptistry is broken because so many people have wanted to be baptized. Now, it's going to work this morning, okay? All the baptism candidates were like, whoa, can I get baptized? Yes, you are going to get baptized. We got it covered. It's all good. But isn't that exciting to think that so many people are following Jesus that it's bent the baptistry? That's awesome. It's an awesome thing. You see, the Edge Church is here to transform the culture. We're not here to be a subculture. We're here to redeem the culture. And baptism is one of the greatest indicators of that. So we celebrate today, over these last 2.5 years, the life change, the marriages that have been saved, the addictions that have been broken, the souls that have followed Christ. Man, there is just nothing more exciting than that. And in the waters of baptism, all of those life-changing decisions are reflected. So we're going to have a powerful celebration in just a few minutes as we baptize these candidates, and we're going to just celebrate like crazy when that happens today. God wants us to reach out. God wants us to bring our friends to the Edge Church. He wants other people to hear the life-changing message of Jesus. He wants us to be sensitive. He wants us to be connected. And then He wants us to see those true signs of life change that happen. And man, there is nothing more rewarding than all of that. We don't know all that happened in Zacchaeus' life from the Bible. The Bible doesn't give us great detail after Luke 19 about Zacchaeus. But church tradition tells us this, that Zacchaeus became the bishop of Caesarea. he went on to become a very, very influential man in the kingdom of God, a great spiritual leader. And who would have ever thought that the guy that was one day ripping people off, stealing people's money, would one day become one of the most influential Christians in his region? That's the power of God. That's the grace of God. That's the dynamics of the gospel. And God wants to change your heart and life today. I want to lead you in a prayer of commitment. And maybe you've never met this God of the Bible. Maybe you've never met the God of Zacchaeus. I want to just ask all of us to close our eyes and bow our head for just a minute. And today, would you open your heart to Him? Today, would you open your heart to Christ? Just say, Lord, I know that I have sinned. Lord, I pray You'd forgive my sins and You'd make me a brand new person. Lord, I pray You'd forgive my sins and make me a brand new person. I'm putting my trust in Jesus and what He did at the resurrection in order that I can receive new life in Him. And we pray all of these things in the name of the One who gives us life. Amen. And I see your true colors shine.